We continue our reading of the Gospel of Matthew, coming now to Matthew chapter 14. We'll read verses 1 to 21. And this passage contains what is probably the most theologically significant of Jesus' miracles. It explains why it alone is found in all four of the Gospels. It is the feeding of the 5,000. And there's a lot going on there. The crowds have come to Jesus, and they're hungry. And Jesus is partly training his disciples how to engage in a ministry the needs of which far exceed your ability. By the way, that's the gospel ministry today. People need to be born again, and I'm not able to do it. You're not able to do it. The church faces a spiritual need that it's to serve, and it does not have remotely the resources in itself to do it. And you know the story. John's gospel tells us that a boy came with a few loaves and fishes. The key is that they took what they had and they put it into Jesus' hands, and they trusted him. And Jesus, when he works, he causes a supernatural superabundance. There's not only are they able to meet the need, there's more left over. It's a reminder of, I think, of the great missionary motto at the start of the London missionary movement: attempt great things for God, expect great things from God. And I think I went the other way. Expect great things from God, attempt, therefore, great things for God. We put it into Jesus' hands. So much of our evangelism is in prayer, placing things in Jesus' hands, and he does a great work. Now, this miracle also is important because it shows, I think this is why it's in all four Gospels, it culminates Jesus' Galilean ministry with the crowds who were there being the new Israel. And he's the redeemed, he's the true Moses. And you have the Exodus motif, the feeding of the 5,000 is connected to the manna that God gave in the Exodus. And it reminds us not only of our continuity with the Old Testament, but that as the Exodus shows, so is our salvation. We have been delivered by a mighty redemption from the bondage of sin and Satan when we were converted. The Exodus is a picture of our conversion, and it leads ultimately to the glory of God's ultimate provision, the eternal age of glory, the life of heaven and beyond, which is beyond the grave, the crossing of the Jordan into Canaan. And that leaves the wilderness. I sometimes say, I have good news for you, new convert. When you die, you will go to heaven. The bad news is you look healthy. And it's not going to be easy between now and then. And if we ask ourselves just how hard is it going to be, we read the first half of the passage. The cynical slaughter of one of the greatest men who ever lived, John the Baptist. He served the Lord. He acted with integrity. He should have been honored. And you have this sordid story of out of his lust, Herod Antipas, who's having an adulterous affair with his brother's wife, and they just slaughter him. Yes, that's what the world thinks of you and me. It's what it thought of Jesus. It's what it thinks about the gospel. Oh, how would we ever survive our wilderness journey? Because we have our Savior, the Lord Jesus. He meets our need. Our greatest need is the forgiveness of our sins by the blood of his cross. I'll stop there. Let's have those thoughts in mind as we give ear to the reading of God's holy, inerrant, and life-giving word, starting with verse 1 of Matthew 14. At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard about the fame of Jesus, and he said to his servants, "This is John the Baptist. He has been raised from the dead. That is why these miraculous powers are at work in him." For Herod had seized John and bound him and put him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because John had been saying, "It is not lawful for you to have her." And though he wanted to put him to death, he feared the people, because they held him to be a prophet. But when Herod's birthday came, the daughter of Herodias danced before the company and pleased Herod, so that he promised with an oath to give her whatever she might ask. Prompted by her mother, she said, "Give me the head of John the Baptist here on a platter." And the king was sorry, but because of his oaths and his guests, he commanded it to be given. He sent and had John beheaded in the prison. And his head was brought on a platter and given to the girl, and she brought it to her mother. And his disciples came and took the body and buried it, and they went and told Jesus. Now, when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Now, when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the day is now over. Send the crowds away to go into the villages and buy food for themselves. But Jesus said, they need not go away. You give them something to eat. And they said, we have only 5 loaves here and 2 fish. And he said, bring them here to me. Then he ordered the crowd to sit down on the grass, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing. Then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds, and they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 basketful of the broken pieces left over, and those who ate were about 5,000 men besides women and children. The grass withers, the flowers fall, but the word of our God abides forever and ever. Amen.